Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Morning and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host here at the round table with mothers and daughters around the world. And we have a co-host out there, Sethi Oliver. We get up on Saturday morning, we come to the table. We come bringing all of our stuff with us. So don't feel like you're the only one. But you know what? When we come, it's all good. Because we know it's taken care of. Just a matter of walking it out and holding on to faith as you do the walk. That's what they call the faith walk. Believing as you take in the steps, one step at a time. Take two steps, you're going to get confused. You might trip and fall. Just want to take one step at a time and believe that every step that you take, God is with you. God is with you. So this morning, let's see who's on the line. I'm going to go to the line just for a little bit here. Let's see, Frida's on. Frida is our, she sits in with us as our co-host occasionally, but she's our prayer warrior. Let's see if Frida's on this morning to do the prayer for us. Frida, if you're on, if you click one, and I'll see if I can find you here and have you do the prayer for us this morning. Thanks, Frida.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Oh, all is well. Thank God for another day.
Okay. If you would, please, if you would just pray for us.
Father, we just come before you. Thank you, God, as yielded vessels, oh God. Thanking you, God, for another day. That we don't want to take it for granted, oh God, that when we woke up, oh God, we had eyes to see. We had hands and feet and legs and parts of our body were working in optimum strength, oh God. We just thank you, Father God, for the gift of life, oh God, because we have people, God, on this earth, oh God, that want to be able to do things, oh Father God, but may be bound, oh God. So we pray, oh God, for those, oh God, today, oh God, even the mothers and daughters that may not be bound, oh God, physically, but Father God, maybe in their minds, oh God, maybe, oh God, in habits, oh God, and things that they're struggling with and addictions, oh God. Oh God, we release ourselves to you, oh God, today, for this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, oh God. Thank you, God, as we come together. Binding our hearts and minds together, oh God, with mothers and daughters around the world, oh God. We thank you, Father God, as we come together saying we want to be used by you, oh God, and help us to come together in love, oh Father God, which is the greatest commandment, which is love, to love each other today. We release love on the line across the world, oh God. We come together, oh God, under the umbrella of love, oh God, with Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministries and our leadership, oh God, Dr. Bessie Fletcher, oh God. And we just thank you, God, for what you're doing. We're yielded vessels, want to be used for your glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Praise God. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm gonna put you on mute just a minute so I go back. All right. Thank you, Frida. Good morning. Good morning to each and every one as you come on the air this morning. Just want to say thank you so very much. God is absolutely doing a good work. And, you know, sometimes if people say, Why do you keep saying God talked to you, Dr. Fletcher? Why do you keep saying that? I said, because he does. He does talk to me, but he talks to you too. You know, God is talking to us. He's just telling us all day long, you know, trust me, believe in me, follow me. You know, God is definitely on our side. I mean, why would you create something and not love it? You know, we as mothers, that's a good takeoff for us. Why would we create, I mean, why would God allow us to create and we have this baby and then we not love the baby? Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So that's why when you see a mother and somebody say something against their child, you got something to deal with. That mother will come after you like you wouldn't believe. And a prime example is a mother hen. I don't know, most of you probably don't know what a chicken looks like outside of the grocery store, because young people don't even really know what a chicken looks like unless they see it in a book. But, you know, of course, I grew up in the era where we had chickens and run right in the backyard, and I used to have little ducks, not little ducks, little chicks that I thought they were my pets, you know, because they would come. My grandmother would get them in little boxes, and they would come shipped in boxes, little air holes in them, and they'd be little things, about big as the palm of your hand, and I was like, oh, my God, they're just so cute. So, of course, I'd pick some out. That would be my pet. But then after a while, I realized that was not going to be a pet for long, because that chick didn't come, came to lay eggs, came to be eaten. There was no petting in that. But I noticed that if someone came up against that mother hen, one of the babies, that mother hen would open her wings up and, oh, my goodness, would start after you, would run, would just, you think, wow, you're just a little thing. But in her mind, no, you're not going to touch one of mine. And then we can flip that thing and look at it when we're talking about our mothers. How many times have you been around children that's gotten into a fight because somebody said something about their mother? Those were fighting words. And the little boy come home and mother says, what's wrong with you? He was talking about you, mama. He said nobody's going to be talking about my mama. I had to defend it. So then the kids got so cool with it, they decided, you know, we're not going to fight about it. We're going to rap about it. And then they got your mama so, and then your mama so, and then your mama so, and then it got to be a game until one person got up on the other one and said one thing that they couldn't come back to beat on their mother, and then it ended up in a fight. Because no matter how you play around with it, there's a bond between a mother and a child. There's a bond that's connected, and it's connected with a cord called love. We love our mothers. We love them in spite of, because they're our mothers. They brought us into the world. They took care of us. And no matter what, I've seen kids, mothers, as some of you don't know, I'm a Christian clinical psychologist. So when I'm talking to clients, you know, I'm hearing these stories. And when I was in and out of the schools doing counseling, I, you know, would talk to young girls especially, but I had male clients, young boys as well. The majority of the fights came because of something someone said about their mother, or the little girl was jealous because some girl is talking about me. My mama went to shopping this weekend. My mama bought me this, and my mama did this, and mama. And the little girl told me, I just beat her up because I got tired of hearing her talk about her mama. I'm like, are you serious? She said, yeah, she always bragging about her mama, her and her mama. See, words. And even though her mother was with her, her mother was really on drugs. So she didn't have the mother that she wanted. She had a woman, she had the body of a woman that was not functioning properly. So she couldn't go and brag about her mother. But the one thing you know, I knew and I found out, she loved her mother. Her mother could come to the school with no bra on, hair all over her head, comb sticking in the top, house shoes on. And she would say, this is my mother. Because she loved her mother. She didn't care about what she had on. She would say, this is my mother. Because that love connection is stronger than that outside of the parent. So that's some of what we're talking about today. And we're on a call. And I want you to understand, on Saturday mornings and on Thursday afternoons, when we're meeting, this network that we're building, I don't want you to take this lightly. Please don't take this as if this is something that, Dr. Fletcher is just following suit. No. I was talking to someone the other night, and I told him, I said, it's just as important as Noah and the ark. And you might say, well, Dr. Fletcher, you're going to put yourself with Noah? No. I put myself with Jesus. And Jesus says it's time for mothers to come together. You can listen if you want to. Or you can be on outside in the rain when the rain starts, not be in the ship. I'm telling you, they thought he was crazy. God said it's time for mothers to come together and bring their daughters with them. And he defined it in such a way that he said, what? If a daughter doesn't have a physical mother here, she stands in place of her and her mother. So there's no excuse why you can't come. And I'm going to keep doing it because I'm ordained to do it. I'm asked to do it. And I promise him he could trust me on this journey. And this part of my journey at this point in my life, it's not about me trying to please anybody. It's not about me trying to worry about what you say or think about me. I'm going to keep saying what he told me to say. It's time for mothers and daughters to come together. Now, what he's going to do when you come together, I have no idea. But it's time to gather them up, he said. So with that being said, we get up on Saturday morning, and we come. Been doing it for 5.5 years. And out of the 5.5 years, do you get weary? Do you get tired? In the beginning, I did. Some mornings, I just wanted to sleep. But then God, you know, showed me, how can you get tired? Whose body are you in? Who gave you that body? Who gave you your mind? Who gave you the air that you breathe, Bessie? When I say, Lord, I'm just too busy. Well, I don't have time. Well, you know what? He can put you to sleep and you really won't have any time, you know, because he's in control of it and you are not. And we got to get that. So if he says mothers and daughters come together, I want to use you to glorify my kingdom, and you heard those words and you don't react, well, then that's on you. Because each of us have our own relationship with God. But it's time for the world to change. And it's going to take mothers to lead and bring their daughters with them. We'll have to be the one to start the prayer. We won't have to be the one to start the healing process. And God placed in my heart to look at the women that have done that in the past. So I'm charging you to text your friends, call them, email them, Facebook them, because you're on Facebook. Most of the people are on Facebook. I'm not that much. I have to go in every once in a while. I got to do more of it, though, because now it become a necessity, because that is the media, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. God is not asking much of you. You know, we don't come on here and ask you to send us a check. Do we need to have money to run the program? Yes. But you don't hear me come on here ask you for any money. I pay it as I go. You know, God provided, and we pay the radio. This is not free. You know, it's not, if people think of the blog talk is free, it's not. It gets very expensive. But it's done, and I'm on every Saturday morning. Do we take donations? Yes. You can go to our website and click donation. You can donate for the work that we're doing and the work that we're coming up with. But I'm not going to get up here on Saturday morning and ask for money. And this network that we're building certainly is not about money. Someone said the other night, do you have to have money to join the network? And I said, no. And the reason why is because when someone say join the network or join us, there is some cost. And it didn't dawn on me until the person brought it to my attention. And I thought, wow, yeah, because we're conditioned. And it's okay if people have a price to their thing. It's just that God is telling me, he never even mentioned money to me, so I never really thought about it until the other night. So there is no cost, and I'm going to say that on the radio this morning because a lot of you all was not on the call on Thursday night. And I'm going to get the number out. I want you to write it down because I don't know how to reach all of you in my radio program land. So I'm going to give the number out that you can call us on Thursday nights at 7. And the number is 712-432-3066. That's 712-432-3066. That's the call-in number. And then when you call in, you have to have a code because it's a teleconference. And the code is 599-178. That's 599-178. So when we come in on Thursday night, we're organizing. We're talking about how we're going to put this together. So this Thursday night, you should hear some of the leaders come on and discuss from their perspective. We've had some wonderful people calling me. Spoke to a lady last night, Pastor Linda, out of Louisiana. She's bringing a whole of women that she deals with. She's bringing all of them into this network so that we can work together. And so, ironically, that she God gave her the same similar mission. See, we're not asking you to change what God has asked you to do. We're just saying, can we just do it together? That's all. Nothing's going to change. When we go out and we're doing conferences and we're talking and doing mothers and daughters, see, every woman is a daughter. So it all falls under the umbrella. I remember Cynthia telling me that years ago when she first met me, she said, Dr. Fletcher, you have the key. This is it. You have the umbrella for all women. And at first I couldn't, you know, I didn't want to kind of come across and think, well, maybe, you know, I didn't want to be selfish about it. And I said, well, no. She said, no, Dr. Fletcher. And she kept saying it. And finally, one day it just hit my spirit. And God said, yeah. The umbrella, mother and daughter, under that umbrella falls every woman. Every mother and daughter falls under there. And every woman is a daughter. And about 95% of them are mothers. And the ones that are not mothers are by choice. They're either not married, don't want to get pregnant, or somehow in their mind they feel like they can't have a baby. God can do all things. I feel like every woman that God created can have a baby. You know, Satan will come to rob, steal, and destroy your thoughts and make you think you can't. I've seen it over the years. People who thought they couldn't have children had them. So I believe in my heart every woman can have a baby. It's your choice whether you want, you know, and sometimes choices that we make. But that's not why we're on this topic, so I don't want to go too far off. Target. The target is, I want you to see the vision. I want you to see the umbrella. Let's look at it as red. And on top of it, it has white writing. It says mothers and daughters. And under there, we have mothers and daughter programming that is going to affect every woman, will fit every need that every woman can even imagine. Because when we come together and work together, the world will change. Now you think about it. The world will change because we have all that is needed to make up the recipe for changing this world. It starts with the mother, and the mother is so powerful. I want you to understand. I'll take it back as far, and the Lord don't like me to say women because He said, because sometimes people don't get what we're saying if we go to women, because there's so many women programs. He wanted specifically defined that you hear and hear only in your consciousness and get it into your subconscious, mother and daughter. There's a purpose for that. That is because you're going to take your generations, 4 or 5 generations down, mother, with your behavior, your love that you display to your daughter, because she cannot give her children what she has not gotten from her mother. She can struggle, she can learn, and but deep down inside, that love cord is going to be weak. It's going to be weak. She won't be able to be strong as she possibly can be when she doesn't have a strong bond with her mother. I have a young lady, she said to me, well, you know, I'm doing well, so I don't necessarily, you know, feel that I need to go back and revisit some things with my mother. I said, but just think, if you're doing well, you could do great and even greater things if you go back and correct those things with your mother. Because, see, when you are alone at night, 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, and you have an issue and you don't know where to go, and you're talking to God, but you know, I can't see God. God, I can't see you. I can't see you. I know they say I'm supposed to believe in you. I can't see you. And then you got a mother on this earth, and you just want to cry out, because every little girl cries out to their mother, Mama. But when you don't have that relationship with your mother, you pick yourself up, you dust yourself off, and you put your makeup on in the morning, and you go out into the world. But your heart is broken. There's a disconnect. And then you look at the mothers and daughters who are working very hard and says, you know, we do this and we do that together and all that. They still have to work at it. My daughter and I think, have a very good relationship because we work at it. Do we disagree? Of course we do. But I shut it down quick. Whenever I see the enemy coming in, if her voice seems like it's elevating, or my voice seems like it's elevating, I say, oh, no. So we got to recognize he wants you to fight. He wants you to argue. Because if he can keep you separate, then he's messing up two people. Say he's coming in to get two people at one time. He takes two out at a time. And then he'll hit that third, because if you're a mother, a grandmother, a great-grandmother, that's four generations. He'll swipe out four generations in one swoop, because what? Nobody's grandmother ain't talking to her daughter. Then the daughter get old enough, she ain't talking to her mother, that's the granddaughter. Then she has a baby who don't even know that the grandmother and the mother even exist, because she hasn't even seen them. He just took out four generations. So now, you see how important our role is as a mother? Our role is so important that once we define, and I know we are not perfect. I'm not talking about a perfect mother. Lord knows I am not one. I work every day. That's why I try to stay out of the way of people. Because if I get into the group of people, then my consciousness and my intro conversation, that conversation in my head is exposed to too much information, and some of it will follow me home. That's why I don't watch in and everything on television. Some of the shows, yes, I'd love to look at them. But I know it's going to find a place in my mental home. It's going to find a little corner, and it's going to go sit in that corner. And eventually, it's going to grow up. It's going to be fed. It's going to be fed by thoughts, and it's going to grow up into something that, you know, you go, wow, where did that come from? It was because you heard those words. Words will reproduce. God said, my word would not return to me void. So you don't have any words. Did you make up a word? Just think about it. Have you ever made up a word? Have you ever created a word? Every word that you have, God created it. So every word you speak, God speaks. You can speak good or you can speak bad, but every word, everything, all things are created by God. That's why he told them, choose life or death. There's a tree of life and there's a tree of death. Adam and Eve decided they would be real curious. Because what? The enemy came to steal, to kill, and destroy the relationship that they had with God. So in order for the enemy to hurt God, he got to use us mothers against God. So when we come on Saturday morning, we're just coming and asking you to help us
help God. They'll come saying, you're helping Dr. Bessie. I have nothing for you to help me with. You're coming because God is making a call. He's making a mandate. I need your help. I need you to help me nurture this earth. I need you to help me bring it back to its original intent. And we sometimes, as mothers, don't want to be grandmothers. We want to be hip. We want to be teenagers. We want to wear our hair like the teenagers. And they look at us like, look at that old lady right there. Look at her trying to be all hip. Got her hair purple. You know, got some pink over there. Now, look at her. Because that's what teenagers are doing. We can't do what teenagers are doing. Because if we do what they're doing, they figure, okay, what I'm doing is okay. We can't smoke dope with our children. And I say dope because I'm from the old school, marijuana. We can't drink beer with our children. We can't have a glass of wine. Oh, well, it's just cool to have a glass of wine with my child. We go out to dinner and we have a glass of wine. You can't do what you do with your children because then they think it's okay to do it. So as mothers, we got to reassess ourselves. And the older you get, you got to really realize, I got grandchildren now. And they're going to look at me and say, you know what? Grandma's doing it, so I can do it. The call is we got to set the pace. So that's my take on that piece. And I haven't even gotten to our subject this morning. God just took over. The subject this morning is mothers and daughters coming together to make a difference. Now I'm going to tell you, I'm going to let you in on the secret. I was really, really tussling and just going through. It was 9:35, and I'm like, okay, Lord, what are we talking about? So then I was trying to think of a topic. I was trying to think of something. I said, okay, come on now. It's 9:35. What are we talking about? So I went and got my coffee, and I'm standing at the coffee machine, and I said, okay, Lord, okay, okay. Because I got to have a topic and even to send it out. You know, I'm like, okay. Then I came back and sit at the computer, and he says, mothers and daughters coming together to make a difference. That's what you're on. That's what you're going to be on. You can fine tune, but that's what you're going to be on. So I wrote it down, and then all of a sudden I start trying to make it a little shorter. And he said, did I tell you to do that? You see, I have to work real hard to pay attention and listen to what he's telling me. But I said all that to say this, we can make a difference, and I know that, and you know that. All we got to do is renew our minds. All we got to do is believe what God said. God suited up, came down as Jesus. He said, you know, they're not getting it. They're not getting it. So what I want them to see, I'm going to start all over again in a different light. We're going to do a new thing. I'm not going to just reach down and get some dirt and clay and mold it up and blow my breath in it. We're going to do a new thing. I want them to see a new thing. So we're going to start all over again. And then he started with Mary. Mary. He had to pick someone that was pure, that was innocent, that was clean, good heart. So you can't bring something good out of something bad. And I know you might say, wait a minute, hold on. You can. If a bad person can become good, that's not what I'm saying. He had to find someone that was without blemish in order to bring about someone without blemish. So he chose someone. He chose Mary. Now, I can't get into all that because I don't even know the inside scoop. He didn't tell me the inside scoop, but I'm just telling you from the little bit I've known, the little bit I've read. And what's on my heart now? He picked her specially. So I feel like from that point on, he says, I'm going to handpick you. So we have mothers, I have daughters. He's showing us that we as mothers have a key role. That's why he came through Mary. He could have done it any other way. He could have said, blow it in the air and Jesus just appeared. No, he wanted us to know, mothers, you are the reason that I'm showing you this, because you all have the power to nurture. You have the power. And then you're going to bring on someone else on this earth, the daughter. You've got to show her how to take that mantle and run with it, with her children or the children of the world. Just because you have not born a child doesn't mean you don't have the responsibility to mother somebody. That's a cheap way out. I don't have any children, so I don't care. No, 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 no. That means you got all the children of the world. You got a greater responsibility. Can't act like you don't have somebody. You do. So let's look at, I'm going to round this up, and then we're going to go back. We're going to talk a little bit about our topic from last week, which went completely off the chart. But I want to say one other thing that God has placed on my heart, and that is when we as mothers come together, he just wants you to understand, I'm doing this, and he just keeps saying it, so I'm going to keep saying it so that you can get it, get the picture. When we come together and we pray together and we stand together and we help each other as we travel along our way, our children are going to see it. They're going to see, wow, my mama is acting different. And she don't curse like she used to curse. She don't hit me side the head when I say something stupid. Well, she think it's stupid, but I think it's good. She don't pop me side the head. My mother don't tell me I'm no good anymore. My mother don't tell me I'm just like my mother, or you just like the women of the street. My mother don't tell me those things. Something happened. She's changed. She's changed. Now she's saying, babe, you look so cute today. Look at you. I love your hair. Did you do that? Wow. And I love what you picked out to wear to school today. It looks very becoming. You're going to have a blessed day. And I'm going to pray over you. You're going to be protected. You're going to understand what the teacher is saying to you. You're going to walk away feeling good about yourself and knowing that you are a child of God. See, we change simply by changing our words. We change simply by changing our words, because your words create your thoughts, and your thoughts create your visions, and your visions will manifest into reality. If you don't know anything else, you can believe that, because that's the truth. And you had to do that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, you had to say some words, and you had to have some thoughts, and you saw some visions, and now you're living in that. You're not the old person that you used to be. I'm certainly not, and I thank God for it. I didn't even know you could enjoy life as good. I used to say, well, Lord, I like to dance. What am I going to do? You know, I can't dance. And people would say to me, of course you can dance, Dr. Bessie, you can dance. But God answered that a couple weeks ago for me. I'm not telling anybody else, I'm talking about for me. I was listening to some praise music, and I was in there dancing, and he spoke. But he spoke to me when I went to Jamaica to the women's conference, and the lady that put her hand on my belly and the top of my head, Pastor Mary, she said, God said to tell you that he see you dancing in your house. He see you. He wants you to know he sees you. And I thought, whoa, because inside of here, there's nobody here but me. And I'm like, what? God said he see you dancing, and he likes it. She said, I see you dancing with a broom. Well, I hadn't danced with a broom, but when I got back, I pulled the broom out. I said, okay, so that must mean something. So God said to me about a couple weeks ago, he said, you see how you dance? You can dance. You can dance like David until your clothes fall off, as long as you're doing it for me. See, I think we get confused. Satan wants to think, oh, it's okay for you to dance. It's all right for you to dance. That's his trick. If you're not dancing for God, then think about it. Think about it. You can't be warm, lukewarm, You can't get on the floor in the club and dance and then come back and think you can come to church and dance. And God said, I don't accept that. That ain't for me. He's not accepting it. You going to dance for me or you going to dance for the devil? You make a choice. You choose. Now, I'm just sharing my experience. Now when I dance, I boogie just like I boogied before, but I do it for God. And he loves to see me dance. He told Pastor Mary to tell me, I love to see you dance. I'm an excellent dancer. I dance for God now. I don't have to go to church to dance with him. I dance at home. So I still enjoy dancing, and I get even a greater pleasure because he let me know through someone else. I like it when you dance for me. Okay? So that is my little testimony. What would I say, little? Great testimony. And you have them. I'm saying all of this so that you can look in your intro conversations and see what's going on in your head and how we can take some things out of some words out of our conversations and throw them aside, give them to God. You know what? I'm not going to think like that anymore. I'm not going to talk to my children like that anymore. I'm not going to run out the streets anymore. I'm going to be a mother because God is calling you. Come on. I need to use you. Come, come, come. I need to use you. This is time. Mothers and daughters coming together. Go to Ezekiel 16:44, which we based everything on. As is a mother, so is her daughter. It sounds like I'm preaching, and maybe I am. I am a minister, but I'm that was not my intent. Last week we had a lady on. We had Michelle. Lord have me, Christine Michelle. I want to say Christy Marie, which is, you know, she said was cute, but it's not her name. So Christine came on, and she talked about her life as a daughter, as a prostitute for 28 years. And I'm going to tell you, that story, people called me all week, they text me, they marveled over it. Because what? You could see God. You could see God in her. You saw how God picked her up. 28 years. 28 years is a long time. And I could tell the difference. Cynthia and I spoke after the show, and we said, wow, look how she has grown. Because when we met her, she was just like a year into coming out of her old lifestyle. And she wasn't speaking of God like she was speaking of God last week. I said, look at her relationship with God. She did what? She changed the words, changed the mind, changed the vision, and she's living in a whole different reality. She's in a place now that she can help somebody else. And even though she's not a mother, she is a daughter, and she has a wonderful mother and daughter experience. And I say, wonderful. She may say, well, Dr. Bessie, come on now. This is so wonderful. You know, I'm struggling with my mother and daughter relationship. But I know her story, and I knew when she was talking last week, she's still reserved. Even though she said a couple things about her mother, she made sure she said it in a way that she still reserved her mother as her mother. She could have said some other things, because I know. And I thought, wow, that's growth. That's love. But she could have got on here and just blew her right on up. And you all know that. She could have said some ugly things about her mother. She could have used some words that would, you know, blow up the radio. But she didn't. Why didn't she? Because she loved her mother. You cannot get past that love string, that cord, that umbilical cord that's made out of love. I don't care which way, shape, or form. And I don't care what a mother does. I don't care what a daughter does. It is still there. It will be there until you both get back to God. Sometimes the enemy wants you to think it's not there, that it's there. Because no matter what, a child is not going to talk so much negative talk about their mother. They're not going to do it. Now, they can say what they want to say, but you jump into the conversation and try to add something to it if you want to. Then you'll find out to get you straight right quick. Look, that's my mother. Don't you talk about my mother now. I can talk about it, but you ain't going to talk about it. You see? Where did that come from? That comes from love. And that's what we're on all of next year. We're on the love tour, Men in Broken Hearts, as we travel, making a call for mothers around the world. Mothers and daughters coming together to make a difference. That brings us to, you know, why do you need to make a difference, mother? Think about that. I can't answer that for you. Why do you need to make a difference? Is it because God is asking you? Is it because you know you are sent here for a purpose? Why do you need to make a difference? How can you make a difference? Write the things down. Why do you need to make a difference? How can you make a difference? Get outside of yourself. Stop trying to make it all about you. How can I help somebody else? Now, that was a lesson for me to learn. I didn't realize I was making it all about me. But when you really get it, you realize, you know what? I don't need that much. I'm good. How can I help somebody else? God said, you take care of my business, I'll take care of your business. That's why he tell you, don't worry about what you're going to eat, sleep, wear, drink, where you're going to lay your head. You don't worry your pretty little head about that. You take care of what I need to take care of on this earth, and I'll make the provisions for you. Let me do that. I'm God. So, should you make a difference? Answer that question. And I know I'm running late here with time, but I just want to say one thing that God placed on my heart to share with you, and you all can go back and look at this. Just Google the seven women of the Bible. It's like seven of my favorite women of the Bible. And the first one being Jesus, Mary, the mother of Jesus. I'm not going to read all this. You can go back and get it yourself. Ruth. Most people have heard about Ruth. Ruth made a difference by herself. These are women that went one-on-one and made a difference. You know, just think, if they did it one-on-one, if we come together, how much more powerful that is. And you say, well, Dr. Bessie, why don't you just do it one-on-one? They did it one-on-one. That's not what God wants me to do. Don't try to chicken out. He's calling you, too. He's just calling me. Because he showed us that as an example with Jesus. Jesus could have walked. He didn't need them, John and Mark and Luke and Paul. He didn't need all those people. He didn't need them to do what he did. But God said what? Pick 12. He picked 12. He had 12 people with him all the time. Even Judith was in him and he loved him. Queen Esther, you know, she had her role. Priscilla. Now, this is one you need to work at because most people haven't heard about Priscilla. Priscilla's a woman of God, and Priscilla made a big difference, her and her husband. You know, I don't have time. I got to go to the thing, but I just want to name the other one. Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. Mary Magdalene, you know, people try to say, you know, Mary and Jesus had a very close relationship. She was the woman that, you know, he told her, go and sin no more. And she's like, oh, man, this man saved me. I am going to follow him. How can I serve you? Rahab, you know, those are seven women single-handedly made a difference. So we got to stop making excuses. I don't have the money. I don't have the time. And you don't own neither one. You don't own the money. You don't own the time. Because when they put you in a box, they're not going to put time in there. They're not going to put money in there. They ain't going to put your house in there. They ain't going to put your bills in there. They're not going to put your job in there. They're not going to put your girlfriend in there. The man that you die and want to have, they're not going to put him in there. Nothing is going in there but you and some clothes. That's it. And they're going to put dirt on you. And your life is over. We're all going to go through it. We don't know when. So we got to act today as if today may be our last day. So that's the call. That's the call. You take it. You take it. All right, I'm going to go to the switchboard because otherwise, whew, I'll be on here forever and a day. Click one if you want to join in on the conversation. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Georgia. How are you?
I am fantastic. Cynthia, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Well, Dr. Fletcher, you know how I feel about mothers and their daughters and mothers not stepping up to the plate and doing what they're doing or doing what God would have them to do, because God gave them to us, and we are the ones who's responsible. Whether our lines as daughters turn out, if you will, the way where we have a fault against our mother or not, the mother is responsible for that fault if she has neglected to do her part. And, you know, God always have you and I on the same wavelength of whatever takes place oftentimes. And I was just talking to a mother at the prison on Thursday, and she was saying that she wants to, her children and her parents are here, and her parents been taking care of her children. And it's some whole crazy stuff going on behind her thinking with regards to wanting to go to Tampa. But we got to the bottom, because, you know, I called her on her stuff and I told her, you know, I wasn't nice when I told her. I told her she was full of stuff. But, you know, that ain't the words I use. But anyway, that's no here or there. But I just want her to know that, you know, you are responsible for your children and you're still playing with this thing. You want to go off and play. You think this is a joke when, you know, because her mother told her, why would you want to be transported to another prison when your children are here? And she's so adamant about being transferred because she heard that the other facility takes them to the beach and to take them out to the park or whatever she said. But I was like so taken by that, and I'm like, see, you still playing. You ain't ready, and it's okay that you're not ready, but why would you have your parents, why would you come back into your children's lives when you're still not ready, and they're in a stable environment, and now you want to hop off and go someplace else where now you open that door to their little hearts, and now you want to just up and leave them? How unfair is that? Mm-hmm. And I was very perturbed by that, and she thought I was playing with her. And that, you know, because I know, Dr. Fletcher, the hearts of little children, and you can be a 42-year-old, 2-year-old crying like you too, because your mother has broken your heart yet again, because your mother never stepped up to the plate to be in your life. And so we're very serious. I'm talking to the audience now. We are very serious about mothers taking their roles as mothers. The week before that, they were talking about how can they insist that their children, how can they fix the fact that their children look at them as their friends. I'm like, because you've been there, you've been trying to be their friend. So, uh-huh. And I asked them this week, what's more important, a title that you haven't earned or a relationship with your children? And we were talking about the locusts and how the years has been wasted. God can pick it up. You can pick up your relationship with your child just where you left off. Ain't nothing you can do about what you didn't do or what you neglected to do. But I know from my own personal experience with my mother, God can pick it up just where he left it off, where it got left off, because he didn't leave it off. We as humans were responsible for that split. And so...
Mm-hmm.
So when I know what God is able to do, my job simply is to go in and give you the word. And then before she said all that craziness, she said, it's so funny. I just had a conversation with my mother about the same thing. I'm like, really? What God said, the day you hear my heart, my voice, heart, not your heart. If your mother just told you the same thing that I sat here and told you, come on, Pooh. I mean, you have got to stop playing. And it's because, you know, you go out there thinking, oh, yeah, I'm going to be good. I'm going to be good right where I'm going. You may not make it back, boo. We lose girls every year. We lose mothers every year with that same mentality, thinking you can still go off and play and leave your responsibility behind. You may not come back. And it goes to a story. A couple of years ago, these three women, we warned them. We constantly warn them, when you leave here, you can't go back to the craziness. These three young ladies got in this car Christmas week, and they all, under the influence, hit a tree. The young lady who was driving died on impact. One was paralyzed and the other one lost the eye. So mothers, God is not playing with us. You can play with this if you want to. Because when God gives us some wisdom and knowledge and we go out there thinking that we can go back acting like we don't have the wisdom and knowledge, he'll let some stuff happen to you. And that's what I was saying, Christine. When we get tired of doing it our way, we get tired of getting no spanking, we'll do it his way. We'll come back if we get a chance to come back. But why does it have to take tragedy for us to come back to be in the lives of our children? It's so unfair, Mom. It's so unfair.
Wow. That's heart-touching, Cynthia. And see, Cynthia is not talking about what she thinks. Cynthia's talking about what she knows. She's one of those ladies, 42 years, and not having a relationship with her mother. And so when she shares her story, and these are the kind of stories that we're going to share when we travel next year, we are not looking for someone that everybody knows out there that is saying that, you know, because, you know, yeah, I come to see them. We want you to come see God. We want you to come see just his children, that just ordinary children. We're not looking to be superstars. We're not looking for somebody to pump us up. We are looking to come together and stand and see what God is going to do. We might be just standing there, and God just says, he told me he's going to speak. He said, when you get them all up, I'm going to speak through them. And I know it's going to be something. It's going to be something super extraordinary. Thank you for sharing, Cynthia. I appreciate
that. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, we're still doing it, and God is still blessing us. We have someone else that wants to speak. Let's see. Thank you. Have a great day. Love you. Okay. Frida, I don't know if you have your hands up to say something or if it's still from the prayer this morning. Anyone else out there want to make a comment? Well, I appreciate you listening. I know that you're hearing. I know that you cannot be sitting here and not hear God say something to you, because God is speaking to you. And we as mothers, I want you to go out today. I want you to go tell mothers, every woman that you see, this thing. You know, I see sometimes you'd be like, well, I don't know if she has a daughter. And sometimes people get caught up in that. That's why I like to tell people I'm a Christian clinical psychologist and I specialize in mother and daughter relationships, but I do the entire family. You know, I have male clients, I have couple clients, I have every gender, every type client. But God has me to specialize in mother and daughter relationships because he chose me to do that. And it's like he chose you to do what you're doing. I was chosen to do that. And I love what I do. I mean, I really didn't know that the dynamics between a mother and daughter was so needed. You know, it was so such a, I don't know what to say, because I thought I had a good relationship with my mother. You know, I would tell anybody, oh, yes. And my mother and I, we talked about it. We laughed and talked. I'm an only child, so you can imagine. I was fall rotten. And I'm the only girl of the grands. I had, there was one other girl, and she was the age of my mother. So basically, they were like sisters. So I was down there, the baby of the grand, the girl, only girl and only child. And, you know, so I got to have my way, because those boys could not touch me. If they touched me, then I would just, you know, I would be real devious. I would go in there and I'd tell and cry and act like it was worse than what it was, you know, just to get them in trouble and things of that nature. But I'm saying all that to say this, is that we know as women we have power. It's just how we're going to generate that power. I used my power as a little girl. I would use my power against my mother and dad, because I knew if mother said no, I said, okay, then I don't have to worry about it. I just wait till daddy could get home. And I knew daddy was going to say yes. So I would wait till he get home, and then I would, you know, pull him to the side. And mother would see me pull him to the side. I'm talking to him and telling him what mother, I said, you know, she said this, and I asked her, and she said no. And then he would look at me. And now that I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking, wow. He would say, really?
And I said, Daddy, and she said, no. But, Daddy, can you talk to her? Now, my mother's standing over there going like, did y'all not hear? No, I'm hearing you. And Daddy said, let Daddy handle it. And I'd go to my room because I knew it was going to be taken care of. And that went on for years. And that caused a lot of arguments between my mother and my father. And finally, she finally got to him and said, I don't know when. I always tell him it was a 9 o'clock at night call because I tell you, my dad woke up the one day I thought I had it made again. And then all of a sudden, I didn't. And I was crying. I was like, Daddy, what happened? You turned on me. And he said, well, you know what? We can't continue to go down this road. And that was a turning point for me. Because my parents got together and they started making decisions together. And I didn't have that door that I could run in and cause division. Children know how to play you. And if you're not careful, they will run in and they will cause a division between the parents. And from then on, I know when my mother said no, there was no need to go to Daddy because they were already in agreement. So, boom. What? Grow up. But when I tell people, you know, oh, my mother and I have a great relationship, we did. We laughed, played, we talked, and I thought about everything. Until one day I decided to tell her that I was getting a divorce. I was in my 40s. My mother said, oh, no, 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 you're not going to do that. And here I am, out of college, because I went to school late. But I started learning about me as I started taking classes in psychology. And I learned, you know, I knew I wasn't happy for years, but I wanted to please my mother. But we wasn't having an honest conversation. Now that when I look back at it, we was not having an honest conversation. We were just having conversations. But I never told her that I was that unhappy. She never knew. Because I had the house, the business, you know, the car, you know, everything looked like it was coming up roses. But no one knew that at night I cried myself to sleep for years. I was not happy. I never told my mother. I never did because I wanted to please her. I wanted her to feel that I was accomplished and I'd done all the things that she wanted me to do. But I wasn't happy. And when I made the decision, and I went to God first. And when God gave me my relief, I was okay when I told my mother. Even though she said it wasn't going to happen, I was still okay because God had told me yes. So we went through a different kind of relationship. For the first time in my life, 47 years old, we went through, my mother shut down. She did not want me, as she said, you cannot destroy my perfect family. And when she said those words, see, words, it created a thought in my mind and a vision in my head. And I thought, is that what we were doing? Is that the reality? So we had to go through a whole different kind of relationship. We had to start having honest conversations. I had to tell her for the first time in my life, Mother, I have not been happy. All those years, I was not happy. And when I say happy, spiritually. But thank God, we walked through that. We got through it. And God allowed me. God spoke to me the day before she passed and said, call your mother. And we had this closure of a conversation. She was gone the next morning. But I thank God for that. So we cannot play with this. We don't know when people are going to leave. I had no idea my mother was leaving the next morning. She was at home. Took a heart attack that night, left. She had some illnesses. But all I'm saying is don't wait. Like Cynthia said, don't wait. Now I'm free. I don't feel any guilt. I don't feel bad because we had that honest conversation. She really got to know what was in my heart. She really knew that I love her, of course, but she really wanted to kind of manage my marriage. And we as mothers got to stay out of that. You can't. You got to let your daughter have her own marriage, just like you had yours. So I'm going to conclude today. We can make a difference. We can. Look at the women in the Bible and see how they made a difference. And if we come together collectively, it'll be even more impactful. Have a great day. God bless you. Love you. And I'll see you next Saturday.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m. Thank you.